Welcome to Zichur Daf Simanim. My name is Avram Goldhar, and today we're Zechur Shabbos, Daf Kuv Zayin. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Shmuel said, Kol peturi de Shabbos pater aba aser lebar mahanitras. Any place where the halacha states pater, it means that one is not liable midaraisa. However, it's still forbidden midarabban, except for the following three cases where the word pater means pater even midarabban. Number one, if one person sat in a doorway and blocked it completely, trapping an animal, and then a second person came and sat down beside him, even though the first person got up and went away, and the doorway is now being blocked by the second person, the first person is liable and the second person is pater. Number two, Amapis Mursa B'Shabbos, and one punctures a boil to remove the pus, he's pater. Rashi explains that he's not liable in the Raisa, since nothing has been rectified, and no Durabana was enacted in this case either because the person is in pain. And thirdly, one who traps a snake on Shabbos so that it will not bite him is pater. And Tosfos and Dav Gimel Amud Aleph explains that the cases where the snake bite is not life-threatening. If it was, then it would be permitted to kill it on a deraisa level. Point number two, the opening mission of the 14th parak states, the one who traps or bruises one of the 8 shratzim that are mentioned in the Torah is chayev. One is not chayev for bruising all other shkatzim or amasim, all other vermin and crawling things, since they don't have hides, Rashi points out, but one is chayev for trapping them. This is provided he needs them for some positive reason, like an ingredient for medicine. And Rashi explains that the reason one is chayev for trapping these 8 shratzim is that they are typically hunted. He provides 2 possible reasons why bruising them is forbidden. Bruising is either a toldah of shechita, since one is taking the life from that part of the animal, or it's the malach of tzoveh of dying, since the animal's skin is discolored by the bruise. And point number 3, Rabbi Yosef explained the malachokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan, whether one is chayev for killing a louse on Shabbos is based on their understanding of the rams whose hides were used for the construction of the Mishkan. Rabbi Eliezer learns that just as killing the rams involved in taking of a life, so too the prohibition applies to anything whose killing involves the taking of life, which would include a louse. The Rabban hold that just as rams reproduce, so too the prohibition applies to anything that reproduces. Therefore, one is not liable for killing lice since they don't reproduce. And Rashi and Duff Yidbeis Amanala says that they grow spontaneously from a person's skin. And the Aruch HaShulchan explains that they do reproduce, but since their eggs are too small to be seen by the naked eye, they are regarded as halachically non-existent. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Shmuel said, Kol peturi de Shabbos pater al ba'aser lebar mahanitras. Any place where the halacha states pater means that one is liable midaraisa. However, it's still forbidden midarabban except for the following 3 cases where the word pater means pater even midarabban. Number one, if one person sat in a doorway and blocked it completely, trapping an animal, and then a second person came and sat down beside him, even though the first person got up and went away, and the doorway is now being blocked by the second person, the first person is liable and the second person is pater. The second case is a mappis morsa b'shabbos. One punctures a boil to remove the pus. He's pater. Rashi explains he's not liable midaraisa since nothing has been rectified, and no derabbanan was enacted in this case either because the person is in pain. And point number 3, one who traps a snake on Shabbos so that it will not bite him is pater. And Tosfos on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph explains that the cases where the snake bite is not life-threatening, if it was, then it would be permitted to kill it on a deraisa level. Point number 2, the opening mission of the 14th parak states, the one who traps or bruises one of the 8 shratzim that are mentioned in the Torah is chayev. One is not chayev for bruising all the other shkatzim and the ramasim, vermin and crawling things, since they don't have hides, Rashi points out, but one is chayev for trapping them. This is provided he needs them for some positive reason, like an ingredient for medicine. Rashi explains that the reason one is chayev for trapping these 8 shratzim is that they're typically hunted, and he provides 2 possible reasons why bruising them is forbidden. Bruising is either a toldah of shechita, since one is taking the life from that part of the animal, or it's the malach of tzoveh of dying, since the animal's skin is discolored by the bruise. And point number 3, Rav Yosef explained the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabban, whether one is chayev for killing a louse on Shabbos, based on their understanding of the rams whose hides were used for the construction of the Mishkan. Rabbi Eliezer learns that just as killing the rams involved the taking of a life, so too the prohibition applies to anything whose killing involves the taking of a life, which would include a louse. The Rabban hold that just as rams reproduce, so too the prohibition applies to anything that reproduces. Therefore, one is not liable for killing lice since they don't reproduce. And Rashi on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph says that they grow spontaneously from a person's skin. The Aruch HaShulchan explains that they do reproduce, but since their eggs are too small to be seen by the naked eye, they're regarded as halachically non-existent. All right, so now we go to our Simcha Kuv Zayin, and we had a lot of cousins recommended. We had a reunion of cousins, Hanukkah party of cousins. Emark for Woodmere suggested the crazy cousin visiting from out of town. Michael Raskus from New Rochelle suggested my cousin Vinny. That was very funny. We had variations of a cozy blanket, cozy couch, a cozy British tea shop. David Zev Glickman suggested a teenager shrugging his shoulders and saying cuz when asked why. We had Keys Casino Quizzes, Kalamazoo, Kazam, all great, wonderful suggestions. But I'm going to go with a suggestion that comes from Barclay from Baltimore and Kobe Malcolm Yerushalayim. They both suggested a bowl of couscous, a dish of small steamed balls made of semolina that's served usually with a stew. So we're going to use a bowl of couscous. So thank you, Baruch and Kobe, for your suggestion of couscous. That's going to be our simon for Kuf Zion. So here goes. The person eating couscous, who was overjoyed when he found out he was exempt for lancing his boil, lost his appetite when he bruised sherets, got trapped in his bowl, and killed a louse. Once again in slow motion. The person eating couscous, that must mean we're on Duff Kuf Zion. The person eating couscous, who was overjoyed when he found out he was exempt for lancing his boil, which reminds us, Shmuel said, Kol Paturi de Shavas Pater Ava Aser Lebar Manitras. Any place where the halacha states Pater, it means that one is not liable Midaraisa, however, it is still forbidden Midarabban, except for the following three cases. The word Pater means Pater even Midarabban. If one person sat in the doorway and blocked it completely, trapping an animal, and then a second person came and sat down beside him, even though the first person got up and went away and the doorway is now being blocked by the second person, the first person is liable and the second is Pater. Second case is a mapis morse b'shabbos. If one punctures a boil to remove the pus, he is pater. Rashi explains that he's not liable in the raisa, since nothing has been rectified, and no derabbanan was enacted in this case either, because the person is in pain. And the third case is that one who traps a snake on Shabbos so that it won't bite him is pater. Tosos on Dav Gimel Amidav explains that the cases where the snake bite is not life-threatening, because if it was, then it would be permitted to kill it even on the derisa level. So the person eating couscous, who was overjoyed when he found out he was exempt from lancing his boil, lost his appetite when a bruised sheretz got trapped in his bowl, which reminds us, the opening mission of the 14th parak states that one who traps or bruises one of the 8 shratzim that are mentioned in the Torah is chayev. One is not chayev for bruising all the shkatzim or amasim, which are vermin and crawling things, since they don't have hides, Rashi points out, but one is chayev for trapping them. This is provided he needs them for some positive reason, like an ingredient for medicine. Rashi explains that the reason one is chayev for trapping these 8 shratzim is that they're typically hunted. He provides 2 possible reasons why bruising them is forbidden. Bruising is either a told of shechita, since one is taking the life, so to speak, from that part of the animal, or it's the malach of tzovei of dying, since the animal's skin is discolored by the bruise. So the person eating couscous, who was overjoyed when he found out he was exempt from lancing his boil, lost his appetite when a bruised sheretz got trapped in his bowl and killed a louse. Which reminds us, Rav Yosef explained the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Rabban, whether one is chayev for killing a louse on Shabbos is based on their understanding of the rams whose hides were used for the construction of the Mishkan. Rabbi Elazar learns that just as killing the rams involved the taking of a life, so too the prohibition applies to anything whose killing involves the taking of a life, which would include a louse. The Rabban hold that just as rams reproduce, so too the prohibition applies to anything that reproduces. Therefore, one is not liable for killing lice since they do not reproduce. And Rashi on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph says that they grow spontaneously from a person's skin. The Aruch HaShulchan explains that they do reproduce, but since their eggs are too small to be seen by the naked eye, they're regarded as halachically non-existent. So once again, the person eating couscous, who was overjoyed when he found out he was exempt from lancing his boil, lost his appetite when a bruised sheretz got trapped in his bowl and killed a louse. All right, now it's time for a 4 blah bag Chazara. Daf Kuf Gimel. So the Simra Kuf Gimel is Yerushalmi Kugel, the goldsmith who kept his hammer smooth by banging on the frozen Yerushalmi Kugel. Yerushalmi Kugel, that means we're on Daf Kuf Gimel. The goldsmith who kept his hammer smooth by banging on the frozen Yerushalmi Kugel, which reminds us in the Mishnah on Kuf Beis Amud Beis, where Shimon Gamliel stated, the one who strikes with a hammer on an anvil while working is chayev because he is like one who improves the work he is doing. The Gemara seeks to understand what act is he doing that makes him liable and brings up Bai and Rav who both say that banging a hammer on an anvil is considered a malacha, as this is what those who pounded the sheets of gold did for the Mishkan. Rashi explains that after every 3 strikes on the sheet done to thin them, the smiths would strike once on an anvil to ensure the surface of the hammer remained smooth and would not puncture the sheets. He adds that coin manufacturers in his own locales did this. So the goldsmith who kept his hammer smooth by banging on the frozen Yerushalmi Kugel showed off his ambidextrous skills by using both hands to bang in nails, which reminds us, the second mission on the Daf states that one who writes 2 letters with either his right or left hand is chayev. The Gemara asks why one is chayev for writing with his left hand, since it's not the normal manner for writing. Rabbi Yirmiyah suggests that the mission is referring to a left-handed person, but this is rejected because then he should not be liable for writing with his right hand. So Abai answers that the mission is dealing with an ambidextrous person. The Rif asks, why then is this mission not obvious? He explains that Abai is referring to someone who favors one hand but is somewhat proficient with the other. Rabbi Yaakov, the son of Yaakov's daughter, said the author of the mission is Rabbi Yosef, who said that one who writes 2 letters is chayev because of making a roshem, a marking. Since making mere marks can be done perfectly well with the left hand, it is a normal manner to also use one's left hand, and therefore he is chayev. So the goldsmith who kept his hammer smooth by banging on the frozen Yerushalmi kugel showed off his ambidextrous skills by using both hands to bang in nails to spell Shem instead of Shimon. Which reminds us, in the same mission regarding the Malach of Ksiva, writing, Rav Yehuda states that we find a short word that is part of a long word, such as Shem from Shimon or Shmuel, Noach from Nachor, Dan from Daniel, and Gad from Gadiel. Rashi explains Rav Yehuda is coming to teach that even though the writer did not complete the word he intended, he is chayv if the letters he wrote comprise a short word. The Gemara asks how one can be chayv for writing Shem from Shimon, since the mem from Shem is closed, it's Sasim, and the mem from Shimon is open, as Pesuch. Rav Chissa says that this teaches that if a sofer wrote a closed letter as an open letter, it is valid. Daf Kuf Dalet. So the Simur Kuf Dalet is codes. Here goes. To crack the code, that means run Daf Kuf Dalet. To crack the code and escape the room that was plastered all over with all base letters, which reminds us, the Rabbanan said to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that young students came to the base of Midrash and said things the likes of which were not even said in the days of Yeshua ben Nun regarding the meaning and shape of the letters of the all base. For example, Aleph base stand for Aleph Bina, learn Torah. Gimel Dalet stands for Gomel Dalim, help the needy. The leg of the Gimel in the Sefer Torah is extended specifically towards the Dalet because it's the way of the one who bestows kindness to run after Dalim. The leg of the Dalet is extended towards the Gimel to teach that the poor person should make himself available to his benefactor and not make him chase after him. And the skipping Samach Ayin stands for Smoch Anim, support the poor. And another explanation is Simanim Asi B'Tor Ukneosa, make Simanim for the Torah and acquire it. So to crack the code and escape the room that was plastered all over with all base letters, one had to find the words emes and sheker, which reminds us, the student said the reason why the letters of sheker are juxtaposed and the letters of emes are spread out is to teach shikra shchiach, falsehood is common, while kushta lo shchiach, truth is not common. The moral explains that sheker is always close at hand, but emes is hard to come by. The students also explained that the reason why the letters of sheker stand on one leg, meaning the letters Shin, Kuf, and Resh all have one small base at the bottom, whereas the letters of Emes are set like bricks, meaning Aleph, Mem, and Tav, have either a two-sided base or a wide base, is to teach that Emes stands while Sheker cannot. So to crack the code and escape the room that was plastered all over with all base letters, one had to find the words Emes and Sheker and then choose the right letter to complete a sefer. Which reminds us, the Gemara seeks to identify the Tanna of a Braisa that taught that if someone wrote one letter and thereby completed a sefer, and Rashi says it's one of the 24 Sifrei Tanakh, or wove one thread and thereby completed a garment, he's chayev. Rabbi Rav Huna said it's Rabbi Eliezer, who says in the later Mishnah that one is chayev if he adds a thread to a previously worn garment. Rav Ashi says the Braisa could even be according to the Rabbanan, who exempt a person from adding one thread, because completing a garment or a book is different because it's considered a significant amount. Daf Kuf Hei. So the symbol of Kuf Hei is hacker. So here goes. The Russian hackers, that means run Daf Kuf Hei. The Russian hackers couldn't figure out the password was Anochi, which reminds us, the Gemara brings several instances of the Torah using abbreviations, Lashon no Trikon. For example, Rabbi Yochanan said the word Anochi from the Aseret Hadibros is an acronym for Ana Nafshi Ksivas Yahavis, I myself wrote and gave the Torah. The Rabban said Anochi is an acronym for Amir Ni'ima Ksiva Yehiva, a pleasant statement was written and given, and some say that Anochi should be expanded backwards. Yehiva Ksiva Ne'amani Memorea. It was given in writing reliable art statements. So the Russian hackers couldn't figure out the password was Anochi, so they tore their garments in anger, which reminds us, Rabbi Avin initially suggested that tearing a garment in anger is also an act of Masakin, a rectifying act, and can make one liable to Ka'avid Nachas Ruas Yitzro, since he's satisfying his Yetzirah by cooling off his anger. The Gemara challenges this notion based on a brisa that states in the name of Yochanan ben Nuri that one who in anger tears his garment or utensils or scatters his money should be in your eyes as one who is performing a avodah zarah, for this is the way the Yetzirah. Today it tells him to do this, the next day it tells him to do this, until it tells him to serve avodah zarah, and he goes ahead and he's avodah avodah zarah, he serves it. We see from here that tearing one's clothes in anger is not a constructive act because it increases the strength of the Yetzirah. So the Gemara concludes that tearing one's garment is only constructive in a case where the person is not inwardly angry, but is displaying anger to strike fear on the members of his household. So the Russian hackers couldn't figure out the password was Anochi, so they tore their garments in anger and mourned the loss of wise people that would have been able to tell them. Which reminds us, the Gemara addresses the importance of mourning good and wise people. It was said in the Mibar Kapara, Kol Mori Dumo, Zal Adam Kasher, Akash Baruch Hu Sofrim Manichim Bebayis Ganazav. Anyone who sheds tears for an upright person, Akash Baruch Hu counts them and places them in his storehouse. And we're saying in the name of Rav, Komitz Atzel Behespedo Shel Chacham, Ruyu Akovru B'chayav. Anyone who acts lazily over giving a eulogy for Chacham is fit to be buried alive. Daf Kufav. So the Simper Kufav is a cub, is a tight walker walking on a thin line, a thin cub. So here goes. The tightrope walker, that means run Daf Kufav. The tightrope walker holding fire was nervous about falling and wounding or burning the spectators below. Which reminds us, Rabbi Abo taught a brace that states, Kol makalkling beturin chutz mechovu umavir. All who act destructively are putter, except for one who wounds a person or burns something. The Gemara points out that this contradicts our mission that states, all inclusively, Kol makalkling beturin. All who act destructively are putter. The Gemara answers that the brace is going according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that a person's chayav for wounding and burning even when those acts are purely destructive. His source for wounding is based on the fact that Torah permits bris mila on Shabbos, which implies that for ordinary wounding, one is liable. His source for burning is that the Torah prohibits burning a bas kohen who committed adultery on Shabbos, which implies that ordinary burning makes one liable. So the tightrope walker holding fire was nervous about falling and wounding or burning the spectators below that were watching next to an enclosure of trapped deer, which reminds us that the next mission the Perek introduces Machlokas Tanaim regarding the malach of trapping. Rav Yehuda says one is chayav achatzus for trapping a bird by driving it into a closet or deer by driving it into a house. The Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda regarding the deer and say that it's also considered trapping if one drove it into a garden, courtyard, or enclosures, which are bevarim. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that not all enclosures are the same and introduces the following rule. Mechusred seida patr, she'enu mechusred seida chayiv. If the animal still lacks trapping, meaning that it's still difficult to take hold of, then one is patr. If it doesn't lack further trapping, then one is chayiv. So the tightrope walker holding fire was nervous about falling and wounding or burning the spectators below. Or watching next to an enclosure of trapped deer, many of them sick, lame, and old. Which reminds us, Abai asked Rabbi Yosef to clarify the difference between two cases in a braisa, where it was stated that one who traps a blind or sleeping deer is chayev, where one who traps a lame, old, or sick deer is putter. Rabbi Yosef replied that blind and sleeping deer are prone to slip away when they sense a person is there, whereas the lame, old, sick deer do not. Rav Sheshes further clarifies that another braisa stated that one is chayev for trapping a sick deer, was referring to a deer sick with fever that can run away, therefore by catching it, one is trapping the animal. However, the braisa that states that one is putter was referring to a deer sick with fatigue, which is not able to run away, and therefore it's considered as if it's already trapped. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Sechus Brachos. Number 1, which daf do we have machlokes regarding killing a louse? That's on daf Kuvzayin. Good. Number 2, which daf do we have a question whether tearing garments in anger is mesaken? That's on daf Kufei. Good. Number 3, which daf do we learn that one can be chayv for writing with his right or left hand? That's on daf Kuf Gimel. Good. Which daf do we learn that one is not chayv for trapping a sick, old, or lame deer? That's on daf Kuvav. Good. Number 5, which daf do we learn that there are abbreviations in the Torah, such as the word Anochi in the Aseret Dibros? That's on daf Kufhei. Good. Number 6, which daf do we learn that one can be chayav for bona, even a kol shehu? That's on daf Kufbeis. Good. Number 7, which daf do we learn that there are 3 cases when one is completely putter, when it says putter? That's on daf Kufzayin. Good. Number 8, which daf do we learn that the small boats of Meshon have a din of a karmelis? That's on daf Kufav. Good. Number 9, which daf do we have the mission regarding trapping birds or deer? That's on daf Kufav. Good. Number 10, which daf do we learn the meaning behind the osius of the words emes and sheker? That's on daf Kufdal. Great. Now the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1, which daf do we learn that Takanas Ezra was modeled after Har Sinai? That's on daf Chaf. Good. Number 2, which daf do we learn that one should not use a tefillin bag for other items to store? That's on daf Chaf Gimel. Good. Number 3, which daf do we learn the importance of davening with Kovod Rosh? That's on daf Lamed. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz plus the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. This is Rabbi Avram Goldar from Zichru wishing you a great day and great learning.